Today, I want to continue this part two of a teaching titled Respect. Could everybody just say respect? And let me set this up for you with just a little bit of review. Solomon, you're familiar with Solomon in the Old Testament. And at one point, Solomon was given great wisdom by God, an extraordinary God-given wisdom. And he arrived at a place in life. History kind of points to the fact he's in some of his latter years, and he started just really to think and to view and to observe life, the human experience, human condition. He had access because of his wealth and his power. He had access to observe and experience everything. And in his observation, he came to realize that everything was vanity. Everything was vain. It was empty. It was like chasing the wind. And he looked at everything under the sun. And if you read it without the right perspective on this, you think, this man is depressed. He needs to talk to somebody. He needs a snow cone. He needs something, you know, York peppermint patty to help this guy. But we get to the end, and Solomon is driving toward a place. He's observing everything. And he said, and I observed everything under the sun. And he came up with a conclusion then. And out of that conclusion, and basically what I'm talking about is the book of Ecclesiastes. It's right after Proverbs, and you don't need to turn there right now. But he came to a conclusion, and out of his conclusion, having observed everything that man does, wants to do, his efforts, his desires, all those things, he came to this point. He said there's basically three obligations for man. And we touched on these last week, and I just want to remind you. And the reason I write things down is because it burns it into your brain one other way, and we want to get this to you. The first thing he said, three obligations, is you need to fear God. Everybody say, fear God. That's the first one. The second one is to keep his commandments, and we just called that obey. Everybody say, obey. And then the third one is you need to be prepared for final judgment. Everybody say, judgment. See, I could tell by your tone you weren't as excited about judgment as the others. What judgment is, it's report card day. Judgment is payday. And if you'll take care of these others, if you'll involve yourselves and make them the obligations and duties that they are, and not in the detrimental negative sense, but these are our duties. This is what it boils down to. We have three obligations, three things that we need to focus in on. And number one is to fear God. And if we'll do that, and we're going to explore this a little bit further, and if we keep his commandments, we obey him, you don't have to worry about judgment. You know, if you do the work and show up, so to speak, then come report card time, you're going to be okay. You're with me? Now, the title of this series is called Respect. Could I get you to say respect? And what respect is in our today's modern vernacular, this word used in the right way probably represents best for us the idea of fearing God, which is bottom line for us. So as we fear God, now understand this, this is our duty. All of this is our duty. It is also our key. Everybody say key. Because this is what makes life work for you. It's wonderful of God that the very thing that will cause life to work for us, he also requires. So if we will follow through, and he places before us options, but if we will make the right choice, as we're going to see today, and we choose to respect God and to obey what he says, you're going to be all right for this. But not only that, you're fulfilling the duty, or as one translation says, this is the whole purpose of man. And I would hate to chase around other things and kind of miss the whole purpose of why we were even here, what we were supposed to do. And we're created by God for his pleasure, for his purpose. And he said, this is your duty. This is your duty. And it is also the key, because this is what makes life work for you. Psalm 112 verse 1 says this. It says, praise the Lord. How many of you know that's a good idea? Thank you. Praise the Lord. It is a good idea, because he's worthy of it. And it says, blessed is the man, or the one, who fears God and keeps his commandments. So here it all is again. Blessed is the man who fears God and keeps his commandments. Now, when we say blessed is the man, kind of sounds backwards to us a little bit. Another way to say it is the man is blessed. The man is blessed who does what? Who fears God and keeps his commandments. And so bottom line is, if you fear God, follow me, if you fear God and you keep his commandments, that's your duty, that's the key to life, you will be blessed. Are y'all still cold? What's the deal? You will be blessed. Anybody here want to be blessed? Now, you need to understand what blessed is. Some people think it's, you know, just stack up money and get a long boat and stuff like that. Sleeping good is blessed. Being safe is blessed. Having peace is blessed. Having provision, that's being blessed. Having friends, having family, having health. There's so many blessings of God. And yes, it does include finances, but don't dare, like some have, even on Christian television, push that out to an extreme and you know, have made that the key thing. It's such a secondary thing. But I understand this too. Don't be afraid to be blessed. Because part of the purpose of being blessed is so that you can be a blessing. And when you understand that, then you almost see it's a responsibility to be blessed. You know, if you can't swim, you won't make much of a lifeguard. So swimming's not just for your pleasure. You see what I'm saying? It's the blessing of God is not just for you to enjoy. Of course it is. He's given us freely all things to enjoy, but it's also you're blessed so that you can be a blessing. Amen. Now, I want to move on with this whole idea of respect. Boy, that's a mess, isn't it? But I hope you can follow what we're doing here. I want to move on, and there's a whole flow to where I'm going, but I want to insert something here in our flow as we talk about respecting God, having the fear of the Lord in our life, fearing God. We should respect God. We should respect the things of God. We should respect the Word of God, the principles, the systems of God, the instructions of God. But this one I want to zero in on just for a couple minutes here. We also need to respect His leading. His leading. And I want to explore this just for a little bit here. Let me just go ahead and write this up for you. We need to respect the fact that God is trying to help us get somewhere, and He's trying to keep us from getting to some other places. He is at work in our life, whether you've been paying attention to it or not. He's at work in your life trying to lead you. And more and more and more and more, we need to realize I need His help. I need His leading in my life. If that's you, just bob your head, say amen, do something. All right. In Romans chapter 8, verse 14, it says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God." In the New Century Version, it says, "The true children of God are those who let God's Spirit lead them." And so the Holy Spirit leads us. Get this now. If you're a believer, the Holy Spirit leads you, and you need to respect His leading. Amen. Now, as we respect His leading, we need to understand that He leads us with peace, and sometimes He leads us with no peace. Let me explain. Sometimes, and all of you could probably relate to this, you're about to do something, you're planning something, you're involved in something, whatever it would be, and you have peace about doing it. You have this sense on the inside. You have, and I'm trying to avoid just emotion or a good feeling. It's deeper than that. It's richer than that. It's stronger than that. And on the inside, there's a peace about this. Some of you have bought cars and TVs and all kinds of stuff, and you've violated your peace before. I have. Not recent. But years ago, I remember, you know, oh, I think we need one of these. And you go through the whole, yeah, we'll do it. And then you drive away and you're like, why'd we do this? And that brings me to the other part. God not only leads with peace, God also will lead with no peace. I believe there are times where He'll just kind of lift His peace off. And maybe you're about to sign the line. Sometimes you realize, no, I've canceled trips before. There have been things that are all planned and are going to be exciting, and then I don't have peace. And I don't know if God is trying to you know, if something bad was going to happen, or I wasn't to be there at that time, or I was needed here instead of there, or for my safety. I don't know, but I trust him more than I trust me. And so there are times where you just, no, I can't. And so you got to call the other people involved and say, won't be there. Why not? Because I'm in the Federal Witness Protection Program. Now, if they're believers, they'll understand. But he leads us with peace. He leads us without peace. And sometimes it's a go, sometimes it's a no, and sometimes it's just a be careful. Be careful. And the thing is, we need to respect his leading. We need to pay attention to his leading. Pay attention to where you're at, to your surroundings, to what's going on, what things feel like. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15, it says, see then that you walk. See then is kind of implying make it your business. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. How many of you used that word this week, circumspectly? Probably not. Comes from two words, and actually the first word we get the idea of circumference or to encircle, and it has to do with all around. The other word has to do with spectre or spectrum, and it's what we see or what we look at, spectacles, spectrum, that kind of thing. And it is to look all around. And he says, see then, make it your business that as you walk or as you live, as you go through this life, that you're paying attention, that you're looking around. And because this is so important, the Greek also brings out this about circumspectly, is to walk with precision. Is to walk exact, is to walk with accuracy and with care. Proverbs 22:3 says that the prudent foresees, everybody say foresees. The prudent man foresees evil and he hides himself, which means he alters his path because he's seen something. The word foresees in the Hebrew includes in its definition respect. He's respecting what he sees. Enough that he's going to alter his course. But the simpleton goes on, and as the Message Bible says, gets clobbered. Well, I don't want to get clobbered. So it need be sometimes in life, many times in life, because we are limited in our vision, in our vantage point, in our view. Many times in life, we're going to have to alter our course as if we will follow the leading. Everybody say leading. If we'll follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. And it's very, very important. December 13th, 1931, Sir Winston Churchill, who later would become the Prime Minister of England, worldwide statesman, virtually everybody knows his name, was visiting New York City. He was on Fifth Avenue, and he stepped out off of the curb into the street. He failed to look left because of the traffic pattern that he was used to his whole life in jolly old London. He only looked right and saw that it was clear. And he stepped out into the street and immediately, boom, got hit by a car. Threw him nearly 30 feet. Bystanders and witnesses said it was the most horrible thud they'd heard in his life. Could have killed him. He spent a week in Lenox Hill Hospital in New York. And the lesson that comes from that is this: you got to pay attention to where you are. Buddy, you're not in London. You're in New York. You're on Fifth Avenue, and it's one way, and it's going that way, and you look the wrong way. And sometimes in life, we're used to things. And listen to me, especially you need to pay attention to his leading if things are going pretty good for you. Because, you know, we're just going along, and life's going pretty good. We got our challenges. We got this, but it's going pretty good. And after a while, you can get careful and you can get sleepy at the wheel and you can get on autopilot. And I'm going to tell you something. This is no place to be on autopilot. Instead, you need to let that onboard intelligence, that onboard guidance system on the inside, the Holy Spirit of God who knows all and sees all, to guide you and to protect you and to lead you. And listen to me, church, you need to respect that. You need to respect that. He uses peace. He uses the inward witness. He uses his word. He uses godly counsel. He uses your own conscience, as the scripture says, to either accuse you or excuse you. And he uses circumstances. And he does this divine leading in our life. Listen, on the worst day of your life, the Holy Spirit of the Most High God is on the inside of you, and he's working, and he's trying to lead you. And he's trying to lead you so you don't end up somewhere that he's trying to warn you about, and he's trying to lead you so you do end up in the right place that he has purpose for you. And we need to respect the leading of the Holy Spirit. And I don't care what it is. You get in your car, listen, and don't get paranoid. Just trust that if you're trying to hear, he'll make sure you hear. Did you get that? If you're trying to hear him, it's like, well, what if I don't hear him? If you're trying to hear him and let him know that, he'll make it clear to you. He'll make it clear to you. And he'll turn peace way up, or he'll turn it way off, or he'll walk somebody right up to you and tap you on the shoulder. It doesn't know you and doesn't know anything about you and go, don't do it. Don't know why I said that, but see ya. You know? God will somehow. Are y'all with me? And we need to respect the lead. I traveled with some Christian music groups years ago, last century. And it's not funny. And I remember there were sometimes fruity people would come and travel with us. If you come here and you're fruity, we try to help you. And if you stay fruity, we pray you'll find a good fruit basket somewhere. But anyway, they would just come and just everything was too foo-foo and too spiritual and too whatever. And, you know, we're traveling by bus all across the country and pull over somewhere and they're trying to get the leading of the Lord. Is it Burger King or is it McDonald's? And forming prayer circles in parking lots and just travailing before God. Should we go to Burger King or McDonald's? I still don't understand. All right. Let me keep going. Y'all with me? Okay. Now, let's go back to respect or the fear of the Lord. How many of you know you got a better idea that we're gonna respect his leading? All right. With the fear of the Lord, which is our duty, which is a key, there are three things that need to happen with this. Number one, you are to, and we'll show all of this to you in Scripture. First of all, you are to choose the fear of the Lord. Everybody say choose. Second of all, you are to learn the fear of the Lord. Say learn. And thirdly, you are to continue in the fear of the Lord. Everybody say continue. And Scripture's real clear about this. First thing you got to do is you got to choose it. You got to realize and see that is my duty. That is the key to life. This is what I need. I need to choose the fear of the Lord. And then following that, you've got to learn it. It has to be taught to you, and that cannot be done apart from the Word. We're going to talk about that more next week. But you choose it, you learn it, and then you have to continue in it, which is, again, the idea of consistency in your life. So today what I want to zero in on is choosing, is that we would choose the fear of the Lord. Choose to respect God. In Proverbs 1, verse 29 through 31 in the New Living, it says, for they hated knowledge and, watch this, chose. They chose not to fear the Lord. They rejected my advice, paid no attention when I corrected them. That is why. Say, that is why. That is why, watch this, they must eat the bitter fruit of living their own way. They must experience the full terror of the path they have chosen. So it's about choice. And when you choose something, it involves comparison of your options. There's a selection involved. And so you're looking, you know, if you're at the grocery store and you're trying to get peaches or tomatoes or what, you know, and they're out there and they're loose, you kind of choose them. You know, sometimes with apples, I'll pick the apples. Other times you just pick up a bag. And you get home with a bag and you go, I should have picked my own, you know. And so you look at your options and your selections, and then you select one. You choose one out of that. So you know your options. Listen, this is about choice, not chance. Yes. Amen. When I was in school, I remember reading a book called The Lady or the Tiger. Did any of y'all ever read The Lady or the Tiger? And I don't remember the whole story and all of that, but I think there were two doors, and this guy was now forced to make a choice, take a chance. that behind one door was a lady, behind the other door was a tiger. He didn't know what was behind either door, but he had to choose, and he was either going to get a lady or a tiger. And I don't remember what the guy got, but I thought, I wouldn't want to be the guy. And what if they were both behind the same door, you know? But that's about chance. That was chance. Do you remember the show Let's Make a Deal with your host Monty Hall? And they go through the audience, hey, you got a hard-boiled egg and a traffic ticket in your purse, you know, we'll give you $300, you know. And then somebody wins some kind of prize, you know, like a lifetime supply of Kool-Aid or something, and, you know, and $25. And so they got this prize, and yeah, you can keep what you have, or you can trade it in for what's behind door number one. And you didn't know what was behind door number one. And sometimes it's a new car, or other times it was a donkey. How many remember that donkey? And the music would all go, wah, 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 you know. And there's a donkey back. And I remember they'd bring that donkey out all the time. I thought, what a life, the donkey. His gig is Let's Make a Deal. Let's make a deal. So that's chance. That's chance. But we're talking about choice here, that you see your options. And just think about this. Here's your options here. They're showing you on the one side, you must eat the bitter fruit and experience the full terror. I don't want to take any path that has bitter fruit and full terror. But they have that path because they did not make the right choice. And so the question comes back to me, why didn't they choose to respect the Lord? Why did they choose to not, as it's worded, they hated knowledge and they chose not. They chose not. They chose to not fear or respect the Lord. Why did they do that? Sometimes I think because maybe they didn't know their options, but yet the options are clear. And options for us are presented all the time. But sometimes we don't hear them. I remember times at a meal, you know, maybe the waiter or waitress comes up and here's the specials for the day, and you don't really listen, which I think you should because they work hard to, you know, to learn that. And it's got pine nuts and it's marinated in this, and you know, and they go, and they worked hard to learn that, you know, so at least, you know, give them a little gratitude. Even when I fly, you know, and they're telling you in the event of an emergency, and then, you know, and they're telling you all these things. You know, it's a good thing. They work, they got to do it, so don't sleep yet. You know, pay attention to that. But there have been times where, you know, they're telling you a special of the day, and I didn't hear them. And then somebody at my table ordered the special, and it looks awesome. I go, where'd you get that? That wasn't on the menu. And I go, the guy, he told us. And I go, well, can I have a bite? Get your own. You know, and why didn't I know about that? Why didn't I choose that? It's because I didn't listen. And here's the bottom line. I think it's because we don't listen. Come on. We don't listen. So if we're going to make the right choice, we're going to have to listen. The word listen that's used repeatedly, especially in the Psalms and Proverbs, is the Hebrew word shama, shama. And it has to do with this. It's to listen so that you understand, so that you can do it. Listen so that you can understand, so that you can go do it. Not just hear it. Do you hear me? Yeah, I heard you. There are times with my kids where it's something important, you know what I mean? Now listen to me. Look at me. Listen. Hey. You know, and get their attention. Are you listening to me? Because this is important. And you want to give them what to do, and they need to listen, shama. They need to listen so that they can understand, so that they can go do it. And this is that kind of listening. And he's saying you need to listen. Wisdom says, I'm crying out in the open square. I'm trying to tell you what to do. I'm trying to say, come in here and get some wisdom. And said, you're not listening. And so it's important that we listen so that we can make the right choices. Can you say amen? Amen. In verse 33 of Proverbs 1, it says, but all who listen to me will live in peace and safety, unafraid of harm. How many of you know that peace, watch this, I'm not the brightest guy, but I can figure this out. How many of you know that peace, safety, and unafraid of harm is better than bitter fruit and full terror? Yes. And it's a choice. Yes. Plus, you get three. So I'd rather go with that. And then Scripture also tells us that when we have the fear of the Lord in our life, it said it leads to riches and honor and life. It's spiritual and material blessing that would be in your life. Riches and honor and life. if you'll fear God, if you'll follow His leading, if you'll choose to respect God and the things of God, riches and honor and life. And life has to do actually with duration as well. In Proverbs 5, we find a young man who didn't listen. And he went and he did the wrong things and he went the wrong way and it was against everything that he'd been taught. This is a message for all of us. And then at the end it says this, that he lost his honor and he lost his riches. Oh, he didn't lose them. The Bible said he actually had to give them away. He lost his riches, he lost his honor, and his life was in total ruins. And he said this, my life is in total ruin. I'm on the verge of total ruin because I didn't listen. And so what we've got to do is get back to a place where we're listening to God, listening to His Word, listening to sermons, because God uses those. Did you know that? God uses those. And listening so that we can choose and make the right choice and choose to fear God. In Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse 12 and 13, it says, though a sinner does evil 100 times and his days are prolonged, yet I surely know that it will be well with those who fear God, who fear before Him. But it will not be well with the wicked, nor will he prolong his days, which are as a shadow, because he does not fear the Lord. What he's saying is, if you fear God, if you respect God, things are going to go well. Not perfect, but well. But I don't care how long you live and what you get away with and where you get to go and who you get to meet and whatever you get to do and all of those things. It says it will not go well with you if you don't live with the fear of God, respect for God. It said life will be like a shadow. The Message Bible says no matter how many days he lives, they'll be as flat and colorless as a shadow because he doesn't fear God. So why don't people choose to fear God? Why don't they respect His leading? Why don't they do it? Now I'm going to throw out a couple things to you and then we're going to wrap this up this morning. Sometimes I think they're too busy. Just too busy. How many of you have gotten too busy before? And sometimes we get so busy texting and cooking and working on this and thinking about that and all that that we don't even hear the people that are around us. Amen. We get too busy. We got other things. We got distractions galore all around us. You know, now they have, you can get for your car these GPSs and TomToms and stuff like that. I remember a few years back when they first were putting those in rental cars and I'd be on a trip and I'd always request that because they helped me. And you'd plug in, you know, type in all of your little information. And what if, and you'd choose a voice, you know, and this little voice would go, you know, say things like, right turn in 0.3 miles. And I always talk back to them. You know, I just kind of interact with them a little bit. But anyway, what if you just ignore that? What if you just ignore it? Right turn in 0.1 mile. And you just go on, you got radio, and you're like, look at that. And you know what? You'll drive right past where you were trying to be led. You know what your destination is. You know where you're trying to get to. And it's important along the way that we listen. Because if we don't listen, we're not going to know our options. We're not going to make the right choices. Why don't people choose to respect God? Why don't people listen? It's because they're too busy. It's because there's too many options for us. As Chuck Swindoll says, the problem is we are just too capable. We become so self-reliant, so self-sufficient. We can do so much on our own. We don't have to believe God for a lot of things that they did just one and two generations ago. Just one or two generations ago, there were medicines that they needed that weren't even developed, that they couldn't even get, and they needed, and they just had to believe God. Now we get them over the counter. You can go online and have them delivered to your house or whatever it would be. And there's things that we just don't actively have to believe God for. And that's probably one of the best things that has come out of this recession. Is because when money's just coming in hand over fist and everything's good and everything's fat and sassy, you're not looking to God. But I've seen so many people, and even in my own life and how we conduct ministry and stuff, it's just like every day, let's believe God. Let's trust God. Let's make God our source. And it kind of brings you back to that. And we're just too capable? I doubt it. But we get so self-sufficient and so self-reliant. And here's the news flash. In Psalm 100, verse 3, and I'm almost done, Pastor John, if you want to come. Psalm 100, verse 3, it says, "Know that the Lord, He is God." Everybody say that? He is God. Now here's the news flash part. It is He who has made us, and not we ourselves. We're His people and the sheep of His pasture. Sometimes I hear somebody say, "Well, I'm a self-made man," and I almost just have to chuckle on the inside. And one day, they'll see the headline, and here's the headline, here's the news flash. He is God, and He made you. You didn't make yourself, and you're the sheep of His pasture. And we need to respect that. All of that said this morning, we need to slow down. We need to look around. You need to pay attention to where you're at. You might be in New York and not in London. You need to think about things. You need to rethink some things. You need to remember. You need to listen. You need to pay attention. And you need to choose to respect the Lord and the things of God. It is your duty. It is what makes life work for you. It is the path to blessing instead of bitter fruit and full terror. Next week, we're going to look that you must learn. You must be taught the fear of the Lord. I'll give you one scripture on that. Deuteronomy 4:10 says, "The Lord said to me, 'Gather the people to me, and I will let them hear my words, that they may learn to fear me all the days they live on the earth, and that they may teach their children.'" I don't know about you, but I choose. As for me and my house, we choose. We will respect the Lord. Did you get anything at all out of this morning?